fighting the big banks.
We launched a boycott of the Royal Bank. I talked to the vice president. He laughed at me. But 8 days later, he phoned and said that we have to call off the boycott because pastors brought their entire congregation in on Monday morning and did a run on the bank.
Our feature today is about moving your money. A protest being organized as the latest front in the battle over the Trinity Western Law School dispute. On the news portion, the province of Ontario is out with its new sex education curriculum. We get some reaction this week. Also, Campaign Life Coalition getting a head start on this fall's federal election with an upcoming national tour. And an update on the fortunes of Rebel Media, the successor to Sun News.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The province of Ontario unveiled its new health and physical education curriculum last week. The curriculum covers a whole raft of issues from nutrition and physical fitness to mental health, but the focus, most of the attention, has been on the sex education component of the curriculum. The release came a day before a planned protest at Queen's Park, organized by groups who were worried that the updated package would mirror what was introduced and then withdrawn a few years ago. And essentially, it is pretty much exactly the same package as Kathleen Wynne introduced when she was Education Minister. She's the Premier now, of course. The objections to the package are pretty similar, too. Gwen Landolt, with the group Real Women, says the biggest problem with this curriculum is that some of the stuff being proposed for Ontario's classrooms simply isn't age-appropriate.
They're teaching children, for example, in grade 3 about transgendered and homosexuality and two-spirit, which is way beyond children in grade 3. It tells them to reject the expressions husband and wife. And in grade 6, when only 12, they're being taught anal and oral sex. And what child needs to know all that? This is not education. It's indoctrination by people who have values different from the parents.
Generally, the reaction has been the same as it was last time, with a lot of parents very upset. Landolt, though, says unlike last time when the Liberals were in a minority government situation, they're not likely to back down this time. Evidence of that, she says, is included in the regulations surrounding the way some of this content will be taught in the classroom.
They said, for example, in the questions of teaching children about family structures, that two mothers and two children are normal. They're not going to allow children to withdraw from that. The parents are not going to be allowed to take the children out. Whether the government will back off, I don't know. The pressure is building.
So what does this mean for Ontario's Christian and independent schools? Ben Harsevoort is the principal at Heritage Christian School. It's one of the biggest Christian schools in the Niagara Peninsula. He says the effects of the curriculum will be unevenly distributed between grade levels.
At the elementary level, the elementary schools in Ontario are not inspected schools by the ministry. Therefore, we don't have to implement this at all. We can absolutely ignore the document. It has no implications whatsoever for elementary schools because the ministry has nothing to do with our schools. At the high school level, if we offer the Ontario Secondary School Diploma, of course, then we are inspected schools. I haven't read the high school document in all of its detail. I quickly skim read through it. It's about 200 pages long. Of its 200 pages, I would say that there may be, 20 paragraphs that we would have to give direct instruction to teachers about.
But even at that, Harsevoort says, the curriculum really may not be that onerous at the high school level. He likens the requirements on sex ed to those which mandate that all schools expose students to the theory of evolution.
We teach that as a scientific theory in the context of what our confession of God and His creation is about. Similarly, with the health and physical education curriculum, we would teach human development and sexual development and human relationships also in the context of the biblical family values that our school espouses.
Harsevoort says while he doesn't want to downplay the fact that some of the content of the new curriculum is problematic, Christians do need to balance their understanding of this entire debate.
There are indeed things in it that I understand why the conservative Christian community is offended by it. that I regret some of the almost hysterical reaction on parts of the Christian community that don't really further the discussion and just really degenerate into name-calling. And the Liberal Party is very, very adept at quickly turning that against us, because now criticism of the policy is immediately homophobic, because our premier is lesbian, so that connection is made, and immediately you divert the whole discussion from a reasonable discussion about what should be introduced appropriately at what age level to, if you're against this policy, it's because you're homophobic. And that's really regrettable. I'm not overly alarmed by this. I wasn't expecting anything different from a government that is really pushing its liberal agenda. But then I don't look to the government for religious direction. And that's what I look to the scriptures and to my church for.
The new curriculum is set to be implemented at the start of the new school year in September. In other news, the federal election is still about 8 months away, but for pro-lifers, the campaign is about to get started. And the focus will be on Justin Trudeau's adamant position that all Liberal candidates have to sign on as pro-choice. Alyssa Golob is with Campaign Life.
The Canadian Centre for Bioethical Reform has partnered with Campaign Life Coalition for this No to Trudeau campaign, which basically seeks to raise awareness and influence people's votes when it comes to the next federal election, especially with regards to Trudeau's position on abortion and him suppressing freedom of conscience for his own MPs.
He says while the focus on Justin Trudeau may seem unnecessarily partisan, it is deliberate. Even though it may seem like they're ignoring the fact that neither Stephen Harper nor Thomas Mulcair have been particularly friendly to the pro-life cause.
When it comes down to who could potentially be the next prime minister, you have the conservative leader versus the liberal leader. And Stephen Harper, although he has said he does not wish to reopen the abortion debate, he does allow his own MPs to put forward private members' motions and bills that are pro-life in nature, like Motion 408 or Motion 312 or Roxanne's Law. Now, when it comes to Trudeau, he not only said that he's a resolutely pro-choice leader, but he said to be pro-choice is part of the green light process. Although Mulcair has the exact same stance, the Liberals are obviously more powerful, more influential, and are elected to have more seats in the House. So it's time when politicians have resolutely pro-choice stances like this that there are tangible ramifications when it comes to the election. The
campaign has a website, no2trudeau.ca. That's no2trudeau.ca. The national tour is planning to stop in 22 cities across Canada, starting later this month in Victoria and wrapping up at the annual March for Life in Ottawa in early May. And one thing more on the news portion, an update on a story we told you about last week, the demise of the Sun TV network. We told you that Ezra Levant, Brian Lilly, and a few other ex-Sun TV folks had started their own online media platform at www.rebel.media. Initially, as you heard in a clip from Ezra Levant last week, they were launching this with webcams out of their living rooms. Well, this past week, they decided to do some crowdfunding to improve on that situation. In less than a week, they raised close to $100,000 to get some real TV studio equipment. They also got pledges for about $15,000 a month in ongoing contributions to pay for the ongoing operation. Back with more after this.
ARPA Canada is hiring. We have two job openings. The first is for a full-time policy analyst, and the second is for a part-time assistant for the We Need a Law campaign. Do you have what it takes to write, present, and lobby for ARPA Canada? Or perhaps you're more behind the scenes and would like to help the We Need a Law campaign part-time with research and social media? Detailed job descriptions are available on our website. We'd love to hear from you. Email Mark Cunningham at mark@arpacanada.ca to submit your resume.
And we're back. On the feature portion of the program today, something different. Not an interview like we usually do, but an issue. The issue is the ongoing battle over the accreditation of Trinity Western University's law school. It's heading in a different direction this week. If you've been following the story, you may know about an initiative called Legal Leaders for Diversity. It was started late last year by the Bank of Montreal, which came out publicly against the notion that TWU should get a law school, and then went further by promising to screen the legal firms it does business with to make sure they are representative of a broad diversity of views on social issues. The bank's also been working to get other major Canadian companies, about 80 big ones like Home Depot and some of the other banks, to get on board with this. There's been quite a bit of pushback, including in Parliament, where at least three MPs, James Lunny, Kelly Block, and Mark Warawa, rose in the House this past week with statements on this issue.
Mr. Speaker, many Canadians are shocked that law societies across the country voted to discriminate against Trinity Western University law graduates. Compounding the alarm is the revelation that it's big banks and big money interests led by the Bank of Montreal that influence the law societies. BMO and other large banks and corporations have been requiring legal and financial service contractors to reveal the diversity metrics of their associates, partners, and management teams. The initiative branded Legal Leaders for Diversity is apparently opposed to religious diversity. Mr. Speaker, asking a prospective employee about their sexual preferences would be against the law. Denying economic opportunity to any individual or any law firm based on religious belief is just as surely a charter violation.
Mr. Speaker, freedom of religion is a value that Canadians hold dear. Sadly, there are some people, businesses, and even law societies that are opposing this value. Mr. Speaker, the Supreme Court of Canada has already ruled that Trinity's Student Code of Conduct does not constitute discrimination.
Absolutely. Mr. Speaker, Canadians are shocked to find out that the Bank of Montreal has been discriminating against Trinity Western University students. This is one of Canada's largest banks, and why are they attacking religious freedoms? Canadians want their rights and freedoms to be taken seriously. They don't want a big national bank to bully a private university. Canadians want our banks to focus on what they're there for, to focus on the economy and to provide financial assistance to Canadians. We call on the Bank of Montreal to reverse its discriminatory position and respect the religious freedoms of all Canadians.
Here, here.
The issue has also caught the attention of the Canadian Values Coalition, headed by Charles McVetty.
Hundreds of thousands of loyal Christian customers that have helped the Bank of Montreal with its billions of dollars of profits, and now they use their power to attack a Christian school and then go on and start attacking Christians that work in law firms that do business with the bank. If they want to discriminate against Christians and say that that's a Canadian value, then we have an obligation to protect our brothers and sisters who do lose their jobs because of the hostile actions of Bank of Montreal.
And McVetty is organizing a boycott of sorts this Wednesday. They're calling it Move Your Money Day.
We've been spreading this news for 4 months now, and the news has gone coast to coast. And we have already had a tremendous amount of reaction where people have already moved their money. Yesterday, I happened to meet with someone that was working on moving $150 million from the Bank of Montreal. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition, but I also know that in this recent financial report that the Bank of Montreal just put out, their profits were down 6% when all the other banks had profits that were up.
ARPA is also involved with this campaign on the fringes. Executive Director Mark Penninga says since this involves the TWU case, it's only natural that ARPA supporters at least be aware of what's going on.
They say that they're going to only do business with those businesses, I guess, that measure up to their ideals of what that diversity looks like. And yeah, BMO is allowed to do business with the people they want to do business with. They're allowed to oppose religious freedom, but we feel that our constituents should be aware of what they're doing.
And Penninga says if you do decide to get involved in this effort, it's important that you tell the bank exactly why you're closing your account.
What I've learned through this process, actually, is that these corporations, many of them probably had no idea that they signed up to this Legal Leaders for Diversity. Okay, maybe a few corporate leaders, perhaps they were aware of it. But when customers approach them, people who've banked with them for a long time, for example, when they approach them and say, hey, do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize you are opposing individuals like myself, Christians? Do you realize you're trying to oppose Trinity Western Law School, a Christian law school? They pause, they look at it and say, really? We oppose that? How's that possible? And they start asking questions to their own legal counsels and whoever else made those decisions.
So how will all this turn out? How will success be defined? We'll leave the last word to Charles McVetty, who says there is one very successful precedent.
Back in 2005, the Royal Bank of Canada launched a similar program where they were asking employees to display a rainbow-colored sticker representing personal support for LGBTQ issues. We launched a boycott of the Royal Bank. I talked to the vice president. He laughed at me. But 8 days later, he phoned and left 10 messages on my phone and said that we have to call off the boycott because it's damaging their bank. They're even having to look at closing some rural branches because pastors brought their entire congregation in on Monday morning and did a run on the bank.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Production manager, Brian Grimm. Technical director, Nate Boscher. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpaccanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.